I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We welcome you to Gospel Dynamite, a Christian broadcast dedicated to the salvation of the lost and the revival of God's people. I'm Alan Mashburn, your Bible teacher and the pastor of Asbury Baptist Church, located at 218 Asbury Church Road in Seagrove, North Carolina. We invite you to visit our church at 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock. On Sunday evenings, we provide online services which can be viewed on gospeldynamite.org. Now please join me in the study of the Word of God. You're listening to Gospel Dynamite. Thank you for joining us this morning as we look in Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17, and we seek to discover the delights of the Spirit life. The delights of the Spirit life. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Imagine being born into a family that was poverty-stricken, a family that was dysfunctional and doomed, a family with no hope or prospects for the future. A family that was dying and that didn't even care for you at all. Now imagine that along comes a kind, gentle, and wealthy man. This man tells you that he loves you and he offers to take you in as his own child. This man offers you everything your natural family could never give you, and he offers it to you free of charge. All you have to do is come with him and consent to be his child. Sounds far-fetched? That's exactly what happens to every person who places their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul moves deeper into this eighth chapter of Romans, and he is continuing to illustrate the superiority of the Spirit life. He has already spoken of the deliverance of the Spirit life and the differences of the Spirit life, and now in these verses, he addresses the delights of the Spirit life. He tells us that every saved person has been brought into the family of God and enjoys all the rights and the privileges of natural born children. Now notice with me in verses 14 and 15. We see the delight of our adoption. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. We have a new family. Now, according to the Apostle Paul, when we believe, we became the sons of God. That is, we were removed from the family of Adam, and we were transplanted into the family of God. We are literally His children. Now, 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, describes the same matter. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. John's verses tell us that we are his children now, and that one day we will be just like our new father. Now notice the first part of the verse in verse 14. As many as are led, Romans 8 and verse 14, for many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. What this means is that those who are in the family begin to act like the family. For instance, there are certain people in our church who sound and act like their parents. It's in every church. Sometimes on the phone, I can't tell many people apart because they sound just like someone else that's close in the family. You phrase things like your parents and even sound like your parents. For a long time, when I was dating my wife, I had trouble telling the difference between her voice on the phone and her mother's voice and her sister's voice. But I found out very quickly I need to learn the difference. We all develop traits that are similar to the family to which we belong. The same hold true in the life of the believer. If a person is saved, they will develop traits that are like the family of the Father. They will develop traits that are like the Father's family. The primary trait being that they will be led by the Spirit of God. You see, every child of God has the Holy Spirit living inside of them. That's what Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 confirms. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If the Spirit is in residence, he will make his presence known. He will change the life he inhabits. By the way, this is a tremendous means of gaining assurance of salvation. You see, the children of God, God's children, are led by the Spirit. Does the Spirit of God ever lead you to do anything that's against God's word? No. Does the Spirit of God ever lead you to do anything? If the Spirit of God never leads you to do anything, then perhaps you need a checkup. But one thing you can notice and take it to the bank, this is a truth, a biblical truth. The Spirit of God will never lead you to do anything that's contrary to the Word of God. Now in verse 15, we have a new father. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, we have a new father. Because verse 15 tells us that we have been delivered from the bondage of fear and we have been adopted into the family of God. In our society, adopted children often feel and are perceived to be, and it should not be this way, sometimes they're perceived to be second-class members of the family. That's wrong. That is sad. But it's true for many. They are forever reminded of the fact that they were not born into the adoptive family. That is horrendous, to make a child or even adult feel like they don't belong. However, in ancient Rome, things were vastly different. To be adopted was considered to be a great privilege. In fact, the word adoption means to place as a son. That's what the Greek word for adoption means. The picture of adoption is a beautiful portrait of what God does for the believer, for the Christian. In the ancient world, the family was based on a Roman law called patria potestas, which meant the father's power. The law gave the father absolute authority over his children as long as the father lived. He could work, he could enslave, he could sell, and if he wished, he could pronounce the death penalty on his children. Regardless of the child's adult age, the father held all power over personal and property rights. Therefore, adoption was a very serious matter. Yet it was a common practice to ensure that a family would not become extinct by having no male children. When a child was adopted, three legal steps were taken. Number one, the adopted son was adopted permanently. Get this in your mind. This is important. The adopted son was adopted permanently. He could not be adopted today and disinherited tomorrow. He became a son of the Father forever. He was eternally secure as a son of the Father. Number two, the adopted son immediately had all the rights of a legitimate son in the new family. Point being, the adopted son immediately had all the rights of a biological son in the new family. And number three, the adopted son completely lost all rights in his old family. The adopted son was looked upon as a new person, so new that old debts and old obligations connected with his former family were completely canceled out and abolished as if they had never existed. That's important because when we came to Christ, we were taken out of Adam and adopted into Jesus, and we have a new father. Not only do we have a new father, but we have a new freedom. We have a new freedom. Verses 14 and 15 go on to describe and tell us that as children of God, we have been delivered from the power and influence of the flesh. We're no longer led about by Satan and the whims of the flesh. Now we are led by the Spirit of God. Not only have we been delivered from our old leadership, we have been delivered from the life of fear that we used to live while we were in our old family. Now in Jesus, we are brought into a close relationship with our new Heavenly Father, and it's a relationship so close, so intimate, that we are permitted to address Him as Abba in verse 50. Abba, which means daddy. That's the relationship. That's the new level of intimacy that we have with the Father, that we can address Him as Daddy. Now, I lost my earthly daddy in May the 15th, 2020. I lost him here on earth. He's in heaven. But I will never lose my heavenly Father, who is so close and intimate with me that I have the awesome ability and privilege to address him as Daddy. Now, the idea is that we are brought in such an intimate relationship with God that we assume the place of small children who lift their voices to God as a hurting, helpless child who cries out to their father. There is the idea of intimacy and dependence, but of a complete lack of fear. Grab that. Take hold of that. A complete lack of fear. Of course, there's respect and reverence, but there is a sense that our Father will not harm us, that He will always be good to us. But that if He loved us enough to die for us, He will certainly care for us as we walk with Him. My friend, that's the delight of our adoption. Now notice with me in verse 16, you'll see the delight of our assurance. Verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Not only have we been adopted into the family of God, but we are given priceless assurance of that fact in our hearts every day. The child of God has a blessed communion, a wonderful communion with the Holy Spirit of God. And it was this relationship that was predicted by the Lord Jesus Himself in John chapter 14 and verses 16 through 18, where the Bible says in John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18, that, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." The Spirit of God spends time with the redeemed, and this is a truth that the saint of God must not take for granted. He leads us, He teaches us all we need to know about how to live for the glory of God in this world. So we have a sweet communion with the Holy Spirit, which produces a confidence in the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit of God has fellowship with those who are saved by grace, and that is one of the most sure ways to know that you have been born again. If you are genuinely saved, you will know it because the Spirit of God will hold communion with you. He will speak with your heart. He will speak to your heart. He will tell you things. He will guide you. He will warn you. He will lead you. He will feed you. He will comfort you. And yes, He will teach you the truth. If the Spirit of God never speaks to your heart, then you must examine yourself. It may be that you've never been truly saved, because, my friend, if you are born again, the Holy Spirit lives in your heart. And He leads you, and He speaks to you, and He guides you, and He walks with you. He is your comfort. Like a mother who wraps her arms around the insecure child every day and expresses her undying love. The Spirit of God does the same thing for the redeemed child of the Lord. He is the divine lover of our soul. So this passage shows us the delight of our adoption, the delight of our assurance, but in verse 17, we see the delight of our affluence. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Not only are we adopted into the family and assured of that fact every day of our lives, we're also wealthy beyond measure. Now notice what this verse is teaching us. It's teaching us about our new standing. This verse teaches us that we are the heirs of God. H-E-I-R-S. The heirs of God. And may I remind you that our Heavenly Father is wealthy beyond measure? The Bible teaches that truth in Psalm chapter 50, verses 10 through 12. Look that up. We have the privilege of sharing in that vast wealth of our Heavenly Father. That's why Philippians 4 and verse 19 means so much to us. But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He's able to meet our needs no matter how great they may appear. And what He has belongs to us right now, according to Luke chapter 12 and verse 32. Not only are we the heirs of God, but we have been made joint heirs with Jesus. Literally, we are given an equal share in the wealth of our Father. Under Jewish law, the eldest son would be given a double portion of the father's wealth. And however, under Roman law, all sons were treated equally. Jewish law said the eldest son should be given the double portion of the father's wealth. But under Roman law, all sons were treated equally. When I think about this, it isn't the idea of getting things that amaze me. I'm amazed when I come to understand that I've been placed on the same footing with Jesus Christ. Now, don't misunderstand me, but you and I that are saved have been declared to be the sons of God, and we're given the same standing before God as is His Son, Jesus Christ. We will never be Christ. Don't misunderstand me here. We will never be Him, but we had been made like Him in the Father's eyes. What an amazing truth. And as we pass through this life, we will go through difficult times and we're going to face many trials. There will be many times when we feel like God has forsaken us and is not meeting our needs like we think He should. However, we need to remember that we are pilgrims and strangers in this world. We're not here to acquire wealth or name for ourselves. We're here to glorify God. And we're going home, and that's when we're going to be rewarded. That's when we're going to be glorified. The fullness of our inheritance will not be realized until we arrive at home in our Father's house. When we get to heaven, then we'll see just how rich we are and were. One look around will tell the truth forever, according to Revelation chapter 21, the entire chapter. Friends, there's no comparison between what we have now in the Spirit and what we endured in the flesh. God has encouraged me afresh with this passage, as I know that I'm His child. Now, there may be some listening under the sound of my voice who are struggling with this matter of assurance. If so, the Holy Spirit can help you get your sonship. That's what it's called, sonship, settled. Now, others may be dealing with needs in your lives. Why not bring that need to the one who owns everything and let Him meet that need for you? Some may just want to bow your head where you're at. and thank the Lord for adopting you into His family. We are a blessed people, and we must be grateful. Whatever the need in your heart today, whatever it may be, there's help in the presence of the Lord Jesus. Come to Him now.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. We trust it's been a blessing. Trust you'll have a great week in the Lord. Log on to our website, gospeldynamite.org, and let us know if you've accepted Christ or this message has helped you. God bless you, and we trust you have a great day in the Lord.